From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Obligation of Christians to Make the Gospel Known in All the World. Verses 13 through 15 of chapter 1 of the epistle reveal something of Paul's heart for preaching the gospel. As Dr. Cairns has noted, Paul's burden for missionary work grew out of his own experience of the power of the gospel. Then Paul felt that he owed it to sinners to give them the gospel. For him, preaching the gospel was not an option, it was an obligation. Consequently, his desire to go to Rome was fueled by a longing to gather spiritual fruit there. Paul's ministry was characterized by the desire always to do more for Christ. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, God with Us. The text is Genesis 48 and verse 21. God shall be with you. Good old Jacob could no more be with Joseph, for his hour had come to die. But he left his son without anxiety, for he said with confidence, God shall be with you. When our dearest relations or our most helpful friends are called home by death, we must console ourselves with the reflection that the Lord is not departed from us, but lives for us and abides with us forever. If God be with us, we are in ennobling company, even though we are poor and despised. If God be with us, we have all sufficient strength, for nothing can be too hard for the Lord. If God be with us, we are always safe, for none can harm those who walk under His shadow. Oh, what a joy we have here! Not only is God with us, but He will be with us as individuals, with us as families, with us as churches. Is not the very name of Jesus Emmanuel, God with us? Is not this the best of all, that God is with us? Let us be bravely diligent and joyously hopeful. Our cause must prosper, the truth must win, for the Lord is with those who are with Him. All this day may this sweet word be enjoyed by every believer who turns to Faith's Checkbook. No greater happiness is possible.
Thank you.
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
If God has saved you, He has set you apart unto the gospel. So whatever your position in life, whatever your talent, lack of talent is no excuse in this. Understand that. Lack of talent is no excuse. If you have a soul saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood of Christ, God says you're separated unto the gospel of God. That's the obligation. Paul felt that God had given him a stewardship. In those days, a stewardship was a work normally committed to a slave. And in this case, it was committed to a slave. Why do I emphasize that? Because in this sense, preaching was not optional to Paul. It was obligatory upon him. If you ever thought of the words that he wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 9, 16 and 17, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. And I'm not trying to set this in its context. There is an argument in context here that is interesting, but it's not to my point tonight. I want you to understand the words and their force. If I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Why? Because necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, by that he means if I do it as an option that I have chosen, then I have a reward. But if I do it against my will, by that he does not mean reluctantly. By that he means if I'm doing it not as an option, but as an obligation, a dispensation or a stewardship of the gospel is committed unto me. What is Paul saying? He says, I owe it to these people to go first because they are dying and I have the message they need. Second, because I'm a sinner saved by grace. I am a slave of Jesus Christ. And as a slave, I have a stewardship given to me. It's not optional for a Christian to be a witness. It is obligatory for a Christian to be a witness. That's what he's saying. And then, of course, he's saying, I owe it to these people because there is a mighty harvest to be gathered. I long to go to Rome that I might have some fruit. And the idea of having fruit here is not bearing fruit, but gathering in the fruit. I have this passion that I should go and gather in the harvest, that there is fruit to be gathered in. I don't think I'm straying too much from Paul's thought to say that he would certainly have had in mind, as he thought of fruit, the words of the Lord Jesus, I have ordained you that ye go and bring forth fruit. But I think even more, he had in mind, since he's talking about gathering fruit, that I have ordained you that you would go and lift up your eyes and look in the fields that are white already to harvest. Don't be saying there are 4 months. Don't be saying we can put it off, because you can't put it off. What is it about the harvest when it's white already to harvest? As Mr. Spurgeon pointed out powerfully in a sermon he preached as a young man, that waving field of grain, that harvest that's white, ready to harvest, it speaks to you first and foremost of multitude. You think of the millions of, well, you'd be hard to understand this when you look at corn growing in America with these big cobs of corn. Where I come from, corn doesn't grow in cobs. It grows, you would say, in just about individual little parts of that cob. When you see it waving, you're talking about millions upon millions. That's the view that Jesus has. Look at the fields, and you get the idea of multitude. Look in the fields and you get the idea of urgency. Doesn't take you to be much of a farmer to understand that there is a very limited time in which the harvest must be gathered in. And if the farmer misses that window of opportunity, the harvest will never be gathered in. Now, I understand the doctrine of the sovereignty of God as far as my puny brain can. I understand the doctrine of God's immutable decree. But I also understand that he who decrees the end decrees the means. And I also understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking in terms that we may grasp and that may motivate us. Lift up your eyes and look in the fields. There's a harvest to be gathered in. And if you don't gather it in quickly, you're never going to gather it in at all. I was reading in Solomon's words in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with thy might. Why? Because you're going to the grave. And as soon as you're in the grave, your reaping days are over. Your serving days are done. We're all going there. Oh, listen, my friend. Paul says, I want fruit. I want to gather in the harvest. That's why when he looked at these people in chapter 15, he says, I'm sure when I come to you, I'll come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. Because I believe what I am preaching is going to reap a mighty harvest. I believe that this gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I believe, I have confidence in the gospel. Paul believed it. It wasn't a matter of speculation. There's a harvest to be gathered, and he had the gospel to gather it in. It was Goethe who said, when I go to hear a preacher, I don't always believe what he says, but I want him to believe it. How true. When Paul preached the gospel, he believed it. He preached what he believed, what he knew would work to the saving of souls. Oh, he says, therefore I'm a debtor. I owe it to these people. So he had a burden that grew out of his experience of the gospel. That burden expressed itself as a sense of obligation and debt. And that sense of obligation and debt led Paul to be always on the stretch for God. So much so that however much he did to spread the gospel, he always wanted to do more. We read in chapter 15 how busy Paul was at this particular time. For years he'd been constantly on the go preaching the gospel. Chapter 15, 19, by the power of the Spirit of God from Jerusalem round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. You know, that's very easy for us to read nowadays, but take a map sometime. Have a good look at that. From Jerusalem. Take his missionary journeys. Illyricum is the area we would now call the Yugoslavian coast and inland. Just have a look and remember he didn't have any steam trains, never mind diesel trains. He didn't have any airplanes. Most of the time he didn't even have a donkey. He walked on his own 2 feet. The greatest missionary the world has ever seen. He was busy. As Robert Haldane says, after so many labors, he did not wish for repose. He says, I'm busy. But oh, I want to do more. I'm winning souls here. I'm building churches here. But I have a vision for over there. And I want to go. Isn't that always the way? It's true of every great missionary and every great preacher. I remember Dr. Paisley saying in his young days in Belfast, when he was seeing hundreds of souls saved everywhere he went. Crowds were coming to the evangelistic meetings. There was a tremendous move of the Holy Ghost wherever he was preaching. And at that time, his heart was exercised about dropping everything and going to serve God in the upper reaches of the Amazon with the Acre Gospel Mission. I thank God he never went. Not that Brazil didn't need him, but Ulster needed him more. But doesn't it show you the heart? I think of C.T. Studd. Studd was saved through D.L. Moody. He became one of the famous Cambridge Seven. If you've never read of the Cambridge Seven, you should. Young men who had the world at their feet and gave it all up to serve Jesus Christ. He went out to China with the others, lived as Chinese, looked and dressed as Chinese, came back in bad health to England, couldn't sit still in England, went to America to raise the missionary standard and urge young men to go to the mission field. Then went to India, broken in health. No mission board would take him. But Studd went anyway. For 6 years, labored and did a good work in India. And when he's in India, you'd have thought his work was over, but it wasn't. It was through Studd that the heart of Africa was opened up. The Heart of Africa Mission, later the Worldwide Evangelization Crusade, giving birth also to the Unevangelized Fields Mission that have spread across the world and also had a powerful impact in Africa. Wherever he was working. But there was always another field. There was always a great work. There was always a new need. There was always a desire, however much he did, to do more. How easily satisfied we are. We do a little and we sit back and pride ourselves. Oh, how much I have done. God help our infantile wit. How little we have done. It's typical of anything associated with Studd. He was in Liverpool. There was a meeting in a public hall about the need of missionaries in Africa. And there the placard was outside. Cannibals need missionaries. And C.T. Studd, realizing he could end up in the pot. Dear help, the poor cannibal would have tried to eat Studd. But he went anyway. Always on the stretch for God. It was Studd who prayed the semi-poetic prayer. I don't want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. Lord, help me run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. However much he did, Paul wanted to do more.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.